Hello everyone, my name is Yohar Kiryati and I'm a program manager on the Azure team. In this video, I want to show you some of the capabilities that makes Azure Functions such a great service. I'll create several functions that pass messages one to the other to show a few triggers and innovative ways we can interact and access data that is being passed to the function. I already created a function app in the previous Getting Started video, so let me just start by creating a new function. As you can see, Azure Functions come up with a variety of templates that you can choose from. What I want to create is a simple timer trigger function. I'm going to name my timer, my function. Functions bindings demo one. And over here, I need to provide a cron expression that represent how frequent the function will be invoked. So let's say I want to run it every 10 seconds. I'll hit the create button, which will create me the new function. My new function has been created, and already, as you can see, through the cron expression that runs every 10 seconds, you can see that the function actually is running every 10 seconds. If we inspect the function a little bit, you can see that the function accepts two arguments, two input parameters, context and my timer. Context is very helpful. You can see there are log. I can actually log into my log for the functions, and there is a bunch of other stuff on the context object that we will see later in this video. What is my timer? My timer basically represents the timer object that is being passed to my function every time the function is being invoked. If we go to the integrate tab, you can see that there is an object that represents a timestamp, the time that triggered happened and the function was invoked, called myTimer. Well, it's very interesting to create a timer that actually runs, a function that runs every 10 seconds with a timer. What I want to do is I want to create, to add additional output that actually make the function a little bit more meaningful. Let's add an Azure Queue. As you can see, there are quite a variety of options to write my message or to have function write the message for me. Let me go and select the queue. I'll hit the select button. What we see here is this. I got a basically have an object called myQueue in my function that I can write. I'm going to interact with it. And whenever I'm going to write to my queue, the message, the object that I write to my queue will actually be pushed to an actual Azure queue. Which Azure queue? Let's go with function binding. And I also need to provide my storage account. I'll go ahead and select the storage account. And by the way, don't worry about the name. As you can see here from the little help, if you provide a queue that doesn't exist, then we will create it for you. I'll hit the save button to save my changes. Next, I want to add some code. So what I want to do is that every time that the function is being triggered, every 10 seconds, I want to write a message to a queue. To do that, let me add a little bit of code. So what I've added here is a simple Poco object, just an object called myQueueItem that returns a message and a time. It has two properties in it. Let's go ahead and make a little bit changes. So let me just... So what you see here is I'm creating a new instance of myQueueItem into an object called toBeQueued. I'm changing the toBeQueued property time to the timestamp that actually the function was created. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to context. Context has a property called binding. Bindings holds a collection of all the bindings that I have. I have one binding called myQueue. If you remember, if I go to the integrate, myQueue is the name of the object of the Azure Storage queue that we have created. And in that case, what will happen is I'm going to, by assigning toBeQueued to myQueue, I'm actually going to, Azure Functions will write the object to be queued and will write it to the Azure storage queue that I've identified. This is a small log. Let me go ahead and remove this. So we will just log the object that actually we have written to the queue. So with that in mind, let me hit the save button. My function got reloaded. And now every time, every 10 seconds, what will happen is we will basically write this object to a queue. To show that, I'm actually writing objects to a queue, I'm going to switch to Visual Studio. Visual Studio has great integration with Microsoft Azure. And I can see here all my assets. Here's the storage account. Here's the function binding. It's empty right now. And if I refresh, it takes a second to load. As you can see, here are the messages. So slowly, every time I'll refresh, hopefully there's 10 seconds in between, you'll see more and more messages being added to the queue. Let's see another one. You can see items. So basically every 10 seconds, we are gonna add another item to the queue. Let's return to our function. One of the strengths of other function is the binding, right? I don't care how messages are being pushed to an Azure queue. I simply write my message, which is just an object, to the bindings that I have defined, which is my queue, which is the object that I've defined, which represents the binding to the Azure queue. And Azure functions basically take care of the serialization. And as you can see, if I'll return to Visual Studio, there is a JSON representation of the object that I'm writing. And it still continues to add more. To further show the ID behind triggers and binding, let's add a new function. Go ahead, add a new function. The first function we created pushed messages to a queue. I guess it's only fair we listen on this queue and handle messages that are being sent to the queue. To do that, I'll choose a queue trigger function. This time, we'll go with C#. We'll call this functions bindings demo 2. Which queue do we want to listen on? I guess we want to listen to function binding. I need to choose a storage account. I'll hit the create. This will create another function for me that will basically listen to messages that are being on the queue. So anytime there is a queue message, this function will be triggered. Now, as you remember, there are some messages on the queue already. So if I go back to my function, as you can see, items are already being dequeued. If I go back to Visual Studio, what actually we will see is that all of the items should have been queued, and the queue is empty, just as expected. Back to my function. If I look at the code of my function, you can see here there is my queue item. My queue item is, if I go to the integrate tab, as expected, that's the object name that represents the queue message. And if you look, basically I'm printing out here in the log verbose, we're actually printing out my queue item, which is being represented as a string. Let me pause the logs. As you can see, it's right here, it's being printed out as a string. And this is a JSON representation of the object that we're actually being queued. And if you will notice, there are different times here that we're actually queuing up. Okay. Let's clear the logs. This function accepts a string parameter as an input parameter called myQueueItem, which represents the queue. As you can see from the log, it's basically a JSON representation of the queue item that we've pushed. While having a string is nice, I actually want to work with the real object. So let me add a very simple class. It basically has two properties, a message and a time. And what I want to do next is take this class and actually change the input parameter from string to this class. What will happen is that function will now try to actually take the string, the JSON screen representation of the object that I have on the queue and convert it into queue item. And let me hit a save. I saved, my function was recompiled successfully, and as you can see, it continues to dequeue items. But now, if I pause this for a second, but now what you can see is that the string that is being logged does include a queue item, which is an object. This object doesn't have a toString method, so I can't really see anything, which is different from the string representation we've seen before. However, that is very easy to fix. What I need to do is go to my queue item dot message as an example, and I can add another property here. Let's say we want to add the time. I'll hit save. Oh, it's continuing the logs. And as you can see, after this change, basically I'm printing out now the message and the time, which are being properties of an object. It's no longer a JSON representation of an object, it's an actual object. Azure Function is doing this, right? It's basically make your life easier. The object from the queue are being serialized to an object of your desire. All this without knowing or understanding how to interact with Azure Queue, how to read to Azure Queue. Azure Functions will do all this for you. Let's go to the Integrate tab. And now I want to add another output. This time I'm going to choose Azure Tables. I'll hit the Select. Azure Table Binding has a few more parameters to work with. As always, Azure Functions will give you an object that you can actually refer to. You want to interact with the binding, so this will be my table. Every time I write to my table, it will actually go ahead and write it to Azure Tables. Let's see which table we want to write. So let's go with functions bindings. Azure Table has two properties that you have to provide. One of them is a row key, and the other one is a partition key. Let's change this, because this is not a valid partition key. And I will need to choose a storage account. I'll save. Back to the developer tab. Each Azure table has a row key and a partition key. So let's start by adding the myTable object to the function signature. This is the object that we have defined in the integrate tab that actually represents the table. And to be able to write to an Azure table, there is implementation detail here. I need to add an iCollector that accepts a table item, which I'm going to add as another class in a second. The iCollector interface is part of the Azure WebJob SDK. The Azure function is based on Azure WebJob SDK. It is okay if you're not familiar with the WebJob SDK, because Azure Functions abstracts much of the implementation details. The table item is a type of item that I'm looking to collect, that is to write it to Azure Table. Okay, so to do that, let me add actually a class. So I'm adding a class called TableItem. It has a partition key and a row key. Those have to be present in order to be able to successfully write to Azure Table. Other parameters on the object include the time and message, which are basically the properties of the message that we've put on the queue, and the original time. So the original time and message will be the properties from the queue, and time will be the actual time that I'm processing the queue trigger. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and add a little bit of code. So I've created a new object, table item. Partition key, I put some key, doesn't really matter. Row key, I'll generate a new GUID every time just to defer it. As I can say, time is the current time that we're actually implementing. So the current time that we are dequeuing the message from the queue and actually writing it back to Azure Table. This is the message that comes from the queue, and this is the original time that was the message was queued. And what we do here is that, again, my table of it has an interface iCollector. Implementing iCollector, I'm actually had a function called add my item. And by doing this, what I do is actually write the object, this object, my item, to Azure Tables. And the last thing I want to do is basically add a little bit of a log here to actually log. So we're going to log the row key, which is new GUID that we generated, and the actual time we have handled this function ran. Okay, so with that, let's save and let's hope everything works. Function saved, compiled successfully. Okay, and as we can see, the function continued to run. Let's pause for a second. Function process, you can see the message here. This is what we are dequeuing. And we are actually going through and writing to the table, and we wrote a new GUID and the time frame that we arrived. Okay, so to show you that we're actually doing that, I'll go back to Visual Studio. And I'm going to look at the function binding table. Here is the function binding table to which we are writing. Let's refresh. What you'll see here is basically new rows being added approximately every 10 seconds with the information we have, with the message we have, with we wrote. So the partition key is some key, a new GUID every time. The time that we handled, we wrote the row key, and the time that the queue message was inserted. So let's refresh. You see more and more rows are being added as this function runs. What we've seen in this video are two very simple functions that just explain and shows the power of Azure Functions. The first one was a trigger. First one was a timer trigger. Every 10 seconds, we actually take a write an object to a queue. The second one, function was a queue trigger. We listen to messages written to the queue, dequeue it, take those messages, write them to a table. And that's all it takes. So Azure Function does all the heavy lifting for you, taking object, writing object to a queue, dequeuing it, and writing to Azure table. And you don't really care or understand the underlying implementation of how all of that heavy lifting is being done for you. So it's super tremendous in value. I hope you enjoyed this video. Now it's your turn. Go to functions.azure.com to get started with Azure Functions.